Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a blessing to be gathered together again and to be able to look into God's Word. Last evening we were talking some about worship, and we want to continue on with some of that tonight. And worship is a huge thing, and you know, as I thought about worship, my mind went into a lot of things. It went into some things about end time things and different things that we could spend several messages on. Well, I don't plan to spend several more messages on worship, but tonight we want to pick up a little bit from where we left off last night. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans again. Romans chapter 1. And we're gonna spend some time there in just a moment, but a few thoughts before we go there. We talked about, we've been using the term this week, being intentional, and intentional with our Christian life, and intentional with our walk with God, and intentional with our worship of God. And I still believe with all of my heart, I said it the other evening, I say it again, that a kingdom lifer, you know, he's intentional with how he walks. He's intentional with what he does. You know, no one wins a championship in a sports team without being intentional. Okay? They don't just wake up some morning and say, well, I guess I would just like to win a championship today. No. They're intentional, and they spend years, and they put a lot of effort into it, and they have a goal, and they discipline themselves, and they do some things, and they don't do other things, because they want to be intentional to win what they're pursuing after. And you know, and we talk about worshiping God, and we talked about last night how we only have so much worship within us, and we only have so much passion within us. And so God said, He wants all of our worship. He wants all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. He wants all of our worship. And he said that you can't serve two masters. He said, either you will hate the one and love the other. You know, he said, you just can't do it. And so we have to choose. God has given us a choice of what we want to worship, okay? He hasn't given us a choice to worship, because we are going to worship something in our lives. So we're going to worship something or someone. That's not a choice. We will worship. But the choice is ours tonight of how we want to worship or who we want to worship. And, you know, I believe I see a lot of people in the world, and I see a lot of people in churches. And must I say, I think I see a lot, often too many people in our Anabaptist circles that don't really know for sure where they're at. They, you know, they're here and they're kind of whatever, but they're not really real intentional. They kind of just float, and they just kind of float along. And you know, I like the sayings that I read somewhere a number of years ago, maybe in one of David Brousseau's books. I'm not for sure, but you know, it said that a wise man will choose his destiny and then follow the path. Okay? A wise man will choose his destiny and then he will follow the path that it takes to reach that destiny. So a wise man will choose Christ, he will choose God, he will choose heaven, and he will follow the path that it takes to get there. And he will be intentional with that. But a fool, he will choose his path. Oh, well, this looks good. So he'll walk down this path a little while. And, oh, well, I mean, he gets kind of tired of that. So he kind of walks over here, this path a little bit, and you know, a fool just kind of wanders, and he just kind of chooses his path while he goes. But when he comes to the end of the path, or to the end of his life, he's forced to accept his destiny. Does that make sense tonight? He's forced to choose to accept his destiny. So you see, I want to choose my destination and then follow the path. I want to choose my destination to be God. I want to be intentional that my destination is heaven. And I want to be intentional that my worship is God. And I want to be intentional that I walk with Him and I follow the way that it takes to get there. I don't want to come to the end of doing it my way. God will let us do it. You can do it your way. God will let you do that. But you'll be forced to accept your destination. You will not have chosen your destination. You will have chosen it. But really, you won't be the destination that you would like. So when I think of being intentional, I love what Joshua said in Joshua 24. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Even if the Myerstown Church says phooey with it and they let it go, we're not going to do that. We will serve the Lord. Okay? We don't make ourselves better than anyone else, but I believe that we need fathers that will step up to the plate and say, "As for me and my house, by the grace of God, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will worship God. And we're not going to go after the things of this world." So that ultimate worship, you know? And so many times we can worship a lot of things that get us off of track, you know, and we can worship this and we can worship that. You know, choices that we make, we can choose to worship our hurt or we can choose to worship forgiveness. Does that make sense tonight? We can choose to worship our hurt. Oh man, if you only knew how that hurt me. And we can choose to worship the hurt, or we can choose to worship forgiveness. That, you know, we're going to dwell on forgiveness, and we're going to move on from this, and we're not going to allow it to control us, you know? You can choose to worship the easy way, or you can choose to take a stand and worship truth and say, "We will stand for truth, period. As for me and my house, we will stand for truth." You know, we can choose to worship the broad way, or we can choose to worship the narrow way. Today, when I was going to lunch, I had this, a couple weeks ago, I got a splinter in my finger. And so I told my wife, I said, "Try to get that splinter out." And, she dug around in it for a while, and I didn't think it was out, but it had been about enough digging, I guess. And so we stopped, and, you know, it just, that spot on my finger, it just kept getting, the splinter wasn't getting bigger, but the spot just kept getting bigger and bigger and kind of kept getting calloused and bigger, kind of got calloused over it and calloused over it. And, you know, that splinter was still down in there. And so on the way to lunch today, I said, "Honey, there's still something in there." And so she started digging again, and then she squeezed it, and out popped this splinter. And you know, it's already better. It's already not as big as it was, and the callus is going to go away. But you know, I thought about that. I thought, that's kind of how it is in our life. When we worship those things that we shouldn't, it just kind of starts to callous us. And it just kind of starts to react. And when we have bitterness and unforgiveness and we worship the hurt and we worship the easy way and we worship ourself and things, it just callouses us. And it starts to get bigger and bigger, and pretty soon nobody can do anything right, and really that callus keeps getting bigger and it becomes really noticeable. But really the root of the problem is the little splinter that's down in the finger. So if I worship myself, if I worship forgiveness, unforgiveness, it totally controls my life. Just a couple verses here again in Romans 1 where we turn to. I think this is so very vital for us, okay? We talked some last night in verse 16 about not being ashamed. But I wanted to touch a little bit more on 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay? It's very interesting that God has told us I'll step back just a moment. I am so glad tonight that I serve a God that he told me what he expects. Okay? He expects me to worship him with all of my heart. He expects me to worship him with all of my strength. That's what he asks. He says he expects me to deny myself and take up the cross and follow him daily. He told me what he expects of me. And you know, that will never change. And I'm so glad of that. I'm glad that if the world stands and I pass on and the world goes on, that someday I'm not going to stand before him. And he's going to say, well, you know, after you died, I changed the qualifications for glory. God isn't going to do that. He's unchangeable and he doesn't change. And so I'm so thankful for that tonight. But it's very important that when we have an opportunity to worship and to glorify God, that we do that, okay? Because in Romans 1, it says that when they had that opportunity, they said, no, thank you. And as you read down on through there, in verses 24 and 26, it says that God gave them up. And then in verse 28, it says that God gave them over. Okay? So in 24 and 26, God gave them up. God gave them up. And then in verse 28, he gave them over. That they would believe a lie. How many of you here tonight are deceived? Let's see your hands. How many of you here would say tonight that you're deceived? I don't see any hands. You're honest. Do you know this? I hope and pray that none of us here tonight are deceived, okay? But if you were here tonight and you were deceived, you would not know it. Because when I am deceived, I think that I'm okay. I think that I'm all right. I don't say that tonight to put fear in your heart. Well, am I deceived? But the only way that I know to not be deceived is to glorify and worship God and his word with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind and all of my strength. Because I told you last night and I tell you again that this is the only thing that I can guarantee you tonight that is absolute truth. This is the only thing that we have. It's all we need. But it is the only thing that we have tonight. And this is the truth of God's word. And he says, I want you to worship me. I want you to be intentional with your worship. You know, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, the Bible is covered with worship of God. What did Noah do when he got out of the ark? He built an altar and he worshiped God. I mean, time after time after time, illustration after illustration, the worship of God. We talked a little bit last night about Daniel and how he was brought to Babylon and all these different things. And he faced a lot of different situations in his life. And eventually it got to the point that they said, you can no longer worship your God. You can no longer pray to your God. You must not pray any longer. And what did Daniel do? He went to his window and he opened it up and he prayed because he understood the importance of worship. Okay? And so we need to be men and fathers and husbands and leaders that understand the importance of worship and what we worship. Daniel, I don't think he wavered. I'm sure he was tempted, okay? But he opened up his window and he prayed. And he said, I don't care if no one else worships the God of heaven, I will worship the God of heaven. He didn't know that he was going to be saved from the lion's den, but it didn't matter. He was going to worship God. Now, I want to look at a very well-known passage from the Old Testament and quickly here, and then we want to move into some applications for today. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And this could be a whole message here on itself tonight. It's a very well-known story. And I love preaching on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I love taking a whole message and preaching on that. But we're not going to do that tonight because we want to cross over into some other things. But I find it very interesting, okay? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came to Babylon, we believe, at about the same with Daniel, when they were brought captives into there. And they had probably been in Babylon for 20 or more years by this point. They had been in Babylon for quite a while. And they had risen to power, positions of power. We talked the other night how right early on they decided we're going to worship God, we're not going to eat the king's meat. And we all know that story. And so now the king here, he sets up this golden image, okay? And this golden image was probably an image of himself. And this golden image was set up. And the idea is that everyone there would worship the king, okay? Everybody would bow down to this golden idol and they would worship. And it was very simple. All it was said was, is when the music begins to play, when we're gonna play some praise and worship music here, and it's gonna be softly and tenderly, and it's just gonna be whatever, and it's gonna soothe your soul. And as this music begins to play, he said, I want you all to bow down, and I want you to worship the golden image. Okay? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were there, along with probably thousands and thousands of other people. The king's officers, they were there from other countries. They were there from all different tongues and languages, I believe it says in here. And, they were probably thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people there. This was a huge gathering because King Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't even know that they didn't bow down. He didn't notice that. There was this vast crowd out there, and maybe he couldn't even see clear the end of it. I don't know. There was a huge crowd there, and the proclamation was made that when the music begins to play, you bow down. All right? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in this foreign country, and they're high up in this governmental office, and, you know, they're there, and the king asks them to bow down to this golden image. What would you have done if you had been there? You know, I like to think, and my wife has told me before, that I can just think of a lot of things. And she said, it's a good thing that you're a Christian, because you can just, you can think of so many things. Well, I want to use that for the glory of God, but, you know, have you ever been tempted to compromise? That's a silly question, isn't it? Of course we have. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're there. They're surrounded by these governmental officials. I mean, there is wealth. There is everything there. And the music begins to play, and everybody bows down. Let's just put all the other churches in Pennsylvania bowed down. Okay? Everybody from Myerstown bowed down. Heaven forbid, but I'm just saying, okay? Everybody bowed down to this golden image. I don't think Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, I don't think they called a committee meeting and they didn't form a committee to be a committee to decide on the committee to decide what they're going to do here. No, their decision has already made that they were going to worship who? God. They didn't need no committee. They didn't need their church pastor to tell them that because they had already decided that they were going to worship God. But let me tell you a little bit today how sometimes we as God's people act, okay? We're there and the music is starting to play and everybody around us is bowing down. So we kind of start looking around and wow, start feeling a little bit uneasy. And so then we start getting an idea, okay? You know, maybe, yeah, I mean, obviously we can't just bow down and worship this thing, but, you know, we're in a foreign country here. And these people look at things different than we do. They do things a little bit different. Why, they might be offended if we don't bow down to this. Why, they might be offended. Or what would the king think? Or, you know, why, how would we ever reach them if we won't bow down to this idol? How would we ever do this? And then, you know, and then they may have started, here's some things that I would have thought of, okay? All right, kind of comical, but it's reality, okay? You know, I would have thought, well, you know, I won't really bow down, but, you know, maybe I'll just stretch a little bit here, you know, and touch my toes a little bit, you know, just kind of stretch around a little bit, you know, because it's not like we want to ruffle the whole thing here, you know? I mean, you know, so, you know, we'll just stretch here a little bit and touch our toes or here, you know, can you imagine Meshach, he's saying, well, hey, when the music's playing, I'll just kind of act like I'm repositioning my sandal here and then when it's all over, we'll just stand back up and we really didn't worship God or we didn't really worship the idol, but we really didn't stand out either. Or you know, we could have said, well, you know, we'll just go ahead and we'll just bow down with the rest of them, but then we'll just worship the God of heaven, and we'll just pray to the God of heaven. I mean, that way we won't really have to stand out. That way it won't raise any ruckus. That way we won't have to be thrown into the fiery furnace, because, you know, if we would get thrown into the fiery furnace, I mean, you know, how would we ever reach these people if we were dead? So, you know, we got to help. Or, you know, another thing that we could do, you know, is we could just bow down and just worship with everybody else. And then when I get home, I'll just tell God I'm sorry. And, you know, I mean, so, I mean, is it that big of a deal if I just bow down one time to an idol? But that's not what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They said, no, we will not bow. Okay? I want to challenge you with some thoughts tonight, okay? You don't have to agree with everything that I say, and I don't have the answers to everything that I ask the questions to, but I want to make you think tonight, okay? Do we have some gods in our lives? You ever notice that you can see gods in other denominations and other people? You can see gods. Why, I could pick out, if I was around Jim for a little while, it wouldn't be that hard for me to probably pick something out in Jim. But you know,
in all reality, if Jim was around me a little while, he could probably say, yeah, there's something. Yeah. It seems like it's pretty easy to notice it in other people, but sometimes in our own lives, we kind of don't maybe see it all the way. And I believe tonight in the Word of God. And I want to say this before I go into some of this, that I'm going to touch just a little bit on end time things here. And I don't know what all your understanding is, but I think we do ourselves a disfavor when we just position ourselves in one camp and say it has to be this way. And if it ain't this way, well, I tell you what, you can do that, but you might miss it. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were certain, according to how they understood it, this wasn't Christ. Was it the Christ? You better believe it, it was. I believe that it is high time that we realize the times that we are in, okay? Let me ask you a question. Was there a generation alive when the flood came? This means yes, this means no. Was there a generation alive when the flood came? Yes, there was. Was there a generation alive when Jesus Christ came to this earth as a babe? Was there a generation alive? That's right. Was there a generation alive in World War I and II? Absolutely. Do you believe tonight that there will be a generation alive when Jesus Christ comes back? Yes, that's right. I don't know tonight when Jesus Christ is going to come back. None of us here do. But I believe that there are a lot of signs, and I believe that it's time that we become intentional in noticing and looking into the signs of the times that we live in. Okay? God laid this burden in my heart a couple years ago, and it's probably some of the most difficult things sometimes. It seems like the devil attacks me almost in the worst way sometimes when I speak on some of these things. And I believe it's because, or I know it's because it's gonna happen, and the devil does not want us to think about those things. But you know, It's easy for us to say, well, I understand what times we're living in. But, you know, Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees when he was there, he said, you can look at the sky and you can discern what the weather's going to be tomorrow. But he said, you can't determine that I'm the Christ, or that you can't determine at what times it is that the Christ is here and you missed him. But there was a few people who realized that it was Christ, okay? There was a few, but it was only a very few. And the Bible also says that in the end times, there are only going to be a few people that recognize it and that notice it and that are not worshiping the things of this world. Okay? In fact, it says, now this is heavy, but Jesus said, or it says in God's Word, that if the days were not shortened, that all of us here tonight would be deceived. Now think about that. That's how deceptive it's going to be. The other while back, I was thinking about truth, and I thought, why does God hate truth? Why does God hate a lie so much? And the reason why he cannot stand it is, first of all, because he's truth, and truth never lies. But second of all, Satan is the father of lies, okay? And they're in two different kingdoms. And so now we have these two different kingdoms, and Satan, he is a counterfeiter, okay? God has his trinity. Satan's going to have his trinity, and he's going to have Satan, he's going to have the Antichrist, he's going to have the false prophet. I don't look at Revelation and just spiritualize it all. I think we have to take it for what it says, and I don't understand it all. But it talks about those things being in there. It talks about the beast appearing like it's going to be put to death and it's going to be resurrected to life. It talks about him doing miracles. He's a counterfeiter. He's going to do a lot of things that make it appear like it is some of the same things that Christ did, but he's a counterfeiter. Okay? And so, to me, the only way to know what is real is to mess around with what's real and to be involved with what's real. Does that make sense to you tonight? And sometimes in our lives, you know, I see us sometimes selling out. You know, it's easy for us to say, you know, boy, I tell you, we look at these churches around us. Let's see, who would be big here? Would it be the Pittsburgh Steelers? Would they? They're the sports team. I mean, I'm not saying here in this church, but I'm just, you don't have to open yourself up that wide right now, but that would be the Eagles or the Steelers, right? Let's just use the Steelers. That sounds a little neater, doesn't it? So, you know, do you realize that some people, they worship the Pittsburgh Steelers? Do you realize that? I mean, they worship the Pittsburgh Steelers. They can't even go to church on Sunday morning because they got to get rested up to watch the game on Sunday afternoon or whatever, you know. I mean, and you know, I feel sorry for the people that have these idols in their... Just a minute. I had a text there, no problem. I feel sorry for these people that they have these idols and I mean, they spend hours... Why, you can't hardly get them into the Word. Now, oh, just a minute. Oh, yes, a friend of mine, they're in Walmart, and they're getting ready to go to the bathroom. They just thought they'd text and tell me that, you know what I mean? And, yeah, but, you know, I feel so bad, and I have a heavy heart tonight for, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, because I mean... How could someone worship a football team? You know what I mean? And you know, do you know that there's churches now that are bringing the Super Bowl into church? Just a minute. Boy, these things are handy, but you know, they kind of get in the way once in a while a little bit. Yeah, okay. But you know, they actually bring the Super Bowl right into the church. And instead of having good old-fashioned preaching and stuff, you know, they watch the Super Bowl. Oh, just a minute. Yeah, they're leaving Walmart now, but I just, yeah. You know, and you know, they have these gods, and I just feel sorry for people like that. You know, sometimes I have a real concern and a real burden where we as Anabaptist people are with some of our mediated practices that we do. I'm not going to tell you tonight here what to have and what not to have. But I think that, I'll say it this way, I'm middle-aged, but you know, in my number of years, I have never seen anything that people are more addicted to than technology. Never. That includes food, sex, and sports. I have never seen anybody... I bet you a high percentage of the state of Pennsylvania would go all day without food before they would go without their phone. Am I saying that a phone is an idol? Not necessarily. In Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego's day, they were funneled down to the point that they had to make a choice, okay? They either had to worship the golden idol or they had to worship God. They couldn't do both. I believe, I'm going to say this. A year or so ago, I was preparing for a message or two on mediation and what it does to us, and we don't have time to go into all of that tonight. It would be another message or two, but you know, I was sitting there in the room, and I said, I was praying, and this thing is so big and it's so huge, and I said, God, would you give me an illustration tonight that just tells my heart to the people tonight? And I was sitting there, and for some time there had been this big old fly flying around in that room, okay? And it was driving me crazy, kind of, and I had decided that we could not live together in the same room, and I was planning to keep living, you know, and so he needed to die. And so I decided to try to get this thing, but I couldn't get him. He was too quick for me. And so, but I thought about something. He would always, when I would walk over this side of the room, he'd go over to the window, okay? So I thought, uh-huh. So I went over, and I lifted up the window, but the screen was still there, okay? And so, sure enough, he goes over to the other corner of the room, and I open that window up, but the screen's still there. Sure enough, I walk over to this corner, and there goes that fly. Boom! And he hits that screen, and he's right there on the screen. All right? So I walk over, and I pull the window shut. Now he's between the window and the screen. You know? And he kind of goes like this. He goes, you know, and he kind of goes over here, and I kind of was feeling, I don't know if I really felt bad. I actually felt kind of good about it, I think. But, you know, as I sat there on the bed, I seen God gave me the illustration that bared my heart that night to those people. And as I sat there and I watched that fly, all of a sudden, out of the corner of that window came a spider. And that spider came out, and the fly's here. And that spider came out, you know, and the fly was, you know, and he was, and so the spider, he makes a quick grab at him, but he misses him. But the spider, he becomes wise. He's wise. And so I sat there and I watched this unfold for probably 10 minutes, sitting there on the bed. The fly would be here, and the spider would just come up here and just stop. And the fly would, and then he'd move away a little bit, and just calmly, the spider would turn around, and the fly was now down here, and here's the fly, and the spider would just come down here, and the fly would go crazy for a while, and then he would go back up here, and the spider would just turn around, and he would just follow that fly back up the window. I watched this for, like I said, 10 minutes or better, and I thought, the fly's going to win. I mean, the spider's going to win. It's just a matter of time. And a few times that I would watch it, and the spider would get really close to the fly, and I was sort of like, get him, you know. But then the fly would move off, and the spider didn't go crazy. He just moved back in towards the fly again. And, you know, all of a sudden, if faster than my eyes could even hardly see. Bam, just like that. That spider, bam, and he had that fly. And that fly struggled for just a little bit, and then it just died. I'm just going to be real honest with you and share my heart here. I'm going to need just a few minutes, brother, okay? But I see us as God's people getting entangled with that same thing, with how we go after and worship the World Wide Web. Am I going to tell you here tonight that you can't have it or you can't whatever? No, that I'm not going to even go there tonight. But you know, I have some real concerns about it. I know in our congregation we ask that people have covenant eyes. That's good, and it's helpful. But I don't know how it is here, but I'm alarmed at how much time is wasted. Okay? I'm alarmed at churches who, at one time, our church didn't say no to all these things, but you know, churches would have said no to the TV and to the radio, and yet they bring all of that into their home and they watch television and they watch TV and listen to the radio, and I'm not here to say whatever on all of that, but you know, a while back I was in a circle and there were some pastors and stuff there, and the one pastor, he made this statement. He said, I would never ordain a bishop in a church that had a television. He said, I'd never do that. I said, but what if that brother would watch television on his computer? Would you ordain him? And the whole circle went quiet. And the one brother said, well, that gets kind of sticky, doesn't it? And it was the end of the conversation. I'm not trying to be some rigid, old, hard line, whatever. But you know, as I look at this whole picture and the whole scheme, okay? I see it much greater than pornography or no pornography, okay? I see it much greater than social media or not social media. Although I have a lot of concerns about those things, but there's something else that concerns me, and I believe that we are living in the day of this, okay? And you know, I have all brothers who will tell me that you don't have to worry about that. I have pre-brothers that tell me you don't have to worry about that, but I don't have any brothers that will guarantee me that that's okay to not worry about, okay? I mean, when I say, can you guarantee me that? They say, well, eh. Okay? Here is, think about that fly being in that screen in that window, okay? Think about that. And now, you know, in Revelation, we're not going to take the time to read that, but if you want to read it sometime, read Revelation 13 and 14, okay? And we're actually going to maybe look at just a couple verses in there. And you know, there's times when I speak on things like this, I never do it hardly ever the same way and the same things come out, but you know, I've had people ask me questions like this. Are you scared about that? My question is, no, I'm not scared about that necessarily, but do you even care about these things? That's my concern. Do you care? Sure, sometimes I get nervous about some of these things. I'm human. But I don't preach them to try to scare people. I preach them to say, listen, people, this is the age we're in. This is where we are at. Okay? And someday I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account of why I said what I did or why I didn't say what I did at Myerstown Mennonite Church. Okay? And so when I talk on some of these things, I'm not asking you to be where I'm at. And I'm not necessarily going to seek you out to see where you're at in all this, okay? But there's some things that I see happening here, okay? And hear me out on this. In 13 and 14, it talks about that someday there is going to be a mark, and you will not be able to buy or sell without that mark, okay? But as you study those passages out, one thing that happens before that is that they worship the beast. Okay? They worship the beast. And see, we always worship something before we take its mark. Okay? We worship before we take its mark. We, you know, a man or a woman, whichever one, doesn't just wake up some morning and say, you know, I think I'll just go out today and commit adultery. No, they have been worshiping that idea for some time. Very seldom does anybody just get up and say, I guess I'll just go out and murder somebody today. No. They have been worshiping that thing, and that anger has been building up in there, and finally they just take the mark and they do it. Okay? So as I see us living in the days that we live in, okay, we would have to be foolish to say that some of the things in Revelation are not upon us, okay? They're already testing some of these things. And just let me give a few moments here on the financial part of it, okay? You know, years ago, back, we just had dollar bills. And that's all we had. And we had money, and we paid for things with money, okay? Then the checks came along, and you could write a check, and you didn't have to have the dollar bills. And, you know, some of our brothers who went before us, bless their hearts, they don't have all the prophecy fulfilled that we have. You see, they were just working off of what they had. But there were people who went before us. I was never part of a church like this, I don't believe. But there was people who felt like, man, taking that Social Security mark, that Social Security number, that's not good. Should we do that? And now we kind of look back at that and we scoff, okay? I remember when the barcode started coming out on milk cartons and things, okay? And people say, whoa, look at that. Look at them sixes in there, you know? Well, we kind of look back at that and we kind of look at that as funny. And I don't believe for a moment that any of those things were the mark of the beast. But, you know, so we proceed farther on. And so now we have credit cards. And a while back, I got through the mail. My credit card was still good for several years yet. But I got a new credit card. And I'm not sure if it was this one or not. But I got this new credit card. And it said, America is going to the chip. Okay? Throw out your other credit cards. They're not going to work, basically. They're not going to eventually, whatever. Because America is going to the chip. Okay? It used to be you could just fill out your taxes and you could send them in. Now you have to do it online. Now you have to do a lot of things online. Now they can track you with your phone. Now they can track you with whatever. And, you know, anything that you put on your computer is not personable. People can get to that, okay? You're foolish if you think so, okay? They can get to that. Even though you delete it, they can get to that. I know of a ministry team who had a difficult situation that they was involved in, and they wouldn't take their cell phones into the minister's meeting because they was afraid they could be listened to, okay? So all these things are coming upon us, okay? And you say, well, what's the big deal? Okay, well, as I read the book of Revelation, it says that the day will come that you will not be able to buy or sell unless you have a mark upon your body, okay? And we are becoming very close to that time, all right? I believe that in the next possibly the next few years, I believe that if I live to be a normal age, I will way more than easily see this time, because it is changing so fast. You know, we have chips in our phones, we have chips in our credit cards, we have chips in our car, whatever, you know, and it's becoming whatever. We live in a society that is tattooed from the top of their head to the sole of their foot. And all of these things, I believe, are conditioning us. Okay, does that make sense tonight? They're conditioning us, because years ago, we would have not said, 10 years ago, we would, across the Anabaptist church, we would have said, I will never take a chip to buy or sell. Never. And 10 or 20 years ago, we wouldn't even hardly have known what they were. But we would say, no way. But in our Anabaptist circles today, there are people who are saying that they wouldn't have a problem with taking a mark upon them to buy or sell. I met with a pastor friend recently, and I knew that he would have maybe have been from the all camp, and I didn't know what all he was going to say, but I said, Roman, I said, when do we have to say no? I'm just going to tell you tonight, I believe that we as Anabaptist people in the near future are going to have to start saying no to some things. We just are going to. I know, it goes against our grain. We don't like that. We like the ease. We like to be able to just boom, boom, boom. And you know, you may have told me this, and don't feel bad if you told, you probably, I don't know if anybody here's told me this or not, but you know, people say, well, without these things, we won't be able to do business, okay? Is that conditioning us? That when the time comes, I'm not saying, please, I'm not even saying that if you're doing business with these things, that it's the mark of the beast. I'm saying, but if the time comes that they say, forget about the credit cards, forget about the computer, forget about your phone, just put a mark right here and just have it all right here, and you can just buy and sell. You can. They're already testing it, okay? What's your plan? Have you been intentional about, I will not worship the system of this world? You say, well, what are we going to do? That's a good question. What are you going to do? What will you do? Are you praying about these things? James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He says, knock, and it will be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. I believe that most of those things that I just mentioned in that whole spiel right there, I don't really believe that they're the mark of the beast, but they are conditioning us. And the deeper we get into this thing, and the farther we go without even considering, the more difficult it's going to be able to understand. Does that make sense tonight at all? I know. It's like, it's not really what we want to hear. And to be honest with you, it's not really what I wanted to tell you this evening. But I believe that we are on the threshold of having to make some difficult decisions. We're not going to take the time to turn to them tonight, but it talks about that Satan's kingdom is going to have a mark, but it also says that the people of God are going to receive a mark. You see, Satan's a counterfeiter. He's a counterfeiter. And I believe tonight that if I am worshiping God and I am sold out to Him and I am not worshiping the system of this world, that I will receive the mark of God. Okay? But I believe tonight also that if I am lukewarm and I am enthroned and I am sold out to the system of this world, if I love money more than God,
Why would I take God's mark instead of the mark for money? And as I think about those things, I don't have, and it's time to stop for this evening. I don't have all of the answers to those things, okay? But neither do I think that we should just act like, oh, whatever. I mean, God will take care of us. I have people tell me, it'll be really easy. You'll know. I said, that's really funny. That's the first time in history that Satan ever made something really clear. And when he knows his time is short, he's just going to make this really clear. And neither do I think for a moment that those of us who are sold out to God are going to be deceived. Not for a moment. We're not going to be deceived. But the question tonight is who and what am I worshiping? Okay? We have become pretty accustomed to having it easy. I know, I like it easy, man. I like having some money in my account. I like having it easy. I like being able to do things quick. By the grace of God, I have chosen that I will not take a mark upon my body to buy or sell. I don't think we can. When I asked my pastor friend, when are we going to have to stop? He said, we will absolutely have to stop if the day comes that they ask us to put this on our body to buy or sell. I know, we like to think that we just are going to cruise through life and we're never going to have to face any of these things. But I would be dishonest to you tonight if I would say that I don't think you ever will face some of these things. I don't know. If we're out of here when those things happen, praise God. If they don't happen, praise God. But God's word says that they are going to happen. In some way or another, I believe they're going to happen. I don't know when all we're gone and when all we're not and what all we will face. But have you chosen your destination? Have you chosen that, you know, that I won't do that? You know, I hear people say, I had a brother tell me recently, he said, well, if we would just use it for business, I said, that's what Revelation says we can't do. You see, we're already rationalizing through it. Well, if we would just use it for the right reason, if we would just this, if we would just that, it's exactly what the devil wants us to think. If somehow we could just worship it some, if we could just whatever. Brothers and sisters, tonight, ask God for wisdom. Cry out to Him. I have people when I say things like I said tonight that scoff. That's okay. But I don't want anyone to stand before God and God say, I gave you an opportunity to warn and you never said a word. Brothers and sisters, I stand before you as a man, as a believer, as you. I don't have all the answers, but I challenge you. Are you going to be intentional? Are you going to seek God for wisdom? Or are you just going to say, well, as long as the church says it's okay and as long as whatever, and you know, I believe that we need to make some choices. We need to choose our destination and then follow the path. Does that make sense tonight? It's not here to make us feel scared. It's not here to whatever. You know what those things make me do? It makes me want to go after God with all my heart and have His mark upon me. But brothers and sisters, I believe it's very dangerous, maybe irreversible,
for us to take a mark upon us to buy or sell. I know I've had people ask questions like, so you mean to tell me if they inject one of those into a baby in the hospital? God's bigger than all that, okay? But when I willingly choose, I believe, to go contrary to the Word of God. It's a little hard for us to believe, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's a little hard for us to believe that that could possibly happen in our day. This means yes or no, doesn't it? It seems a little bit like this guy is really off of his rocker. I have thought, how could, and I'm not saying this is doctrine, but I've thought, how could an Antichrist get the whole world to worship him? How could the Antichrist rule the whole world from one spot? Well, that's becoming pretty evident today how that could happen. And you know, how could one man, and this is just my thinking, okay? I'm not saying this is how it's going to be. This isn't spelled out like this in Revelation. But just think about if somehow, some way, someone, which this is very possible, they're worried about it right now, that someone would shut down technology. The whole world would be in total chaos. We would be. We are so dependent upon it, we would be in total chaos. All right? But what about if somebody came along and said, I can start it up, but here's what it costs. Everybody would worship him. Every nation, every king would say, please, whatever, sign me up. Just start it back up. We're in total chaos. You know, things like that are very possible today. And I just challenge you. Do you love God? Are you intentional with your worship of God? Or is there areas that we're not willing to give up? Let's stand together for prayer. Father, tonight we come before you, and Lord, I do not have the answers to all of these things. I do not profess to understand them all. But Lord, I believe that as these brothers and sisters, as we seek you, as we are intentional with you, that you will show us the way. I know that. You have promised us that. If we seek you, we will find you. God, help us to consider, what is controlling me? Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, that there would be no child or young person here tonight that doesn't know you, that walks away with fear. Lord, Lord, please, I rebuke the devil for that in the name of Jesus Christ. That is not my intention in any way, shape, or form. But Lord, yet I feel compelled to share what you've laid on my heart. And I pray that we as believers would seek you for wisdom, for guidance, and for direction in the days ahead. We live in fascinating times, Lord. I believe we could very easily be the generation that sees the end with everything that is being fulfilled and happening. Lord, I don't want to be controlled by someone placing a chip in me and controlling my thinking, controlling my mind. And that is happening. They are testing it. And Lord, I pray that I would be under the control of your Holy Spirit. Thank you. Please, Father, any words, any thoughts that were misspoken, I in no way want to present anything in a false light. Thank you.
And we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's sing a verse of Follow the Path.